Welcome to WBC. My name's Justin. I'm part of the team here. And it is my privilege to be speaking around the Word of God. I can't tell you, the one thing I want you to take home today is not necessarily that we are talking about what it is to go, and we are talking about what it is to go, but I want you to know that the Word is where you get the information from. The Word is where you get the inspiration from. The Word is where you get the understanding from. The Word is where it all starts. All right, everyone say the Word. And I'm talking about the Bible, not just words you made up or words you Googled. The Word. The Holy Word, the inspired Word given to us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is an incredible tool that you have in your kit. And it's one of those things that there are parts of the world that you can't have this thing. So just say thank you that you've got it in the first place. And let's get into it today and see if it can't teach us something. For those of you who have never been here before, there are notes on our app. You can jump onto wherreveyoubaptist.org.au and you can find the notes for the sermon, and you can go and do a whole lot of following along on the app if you've got that. For all of us that are in life groups, there's going to be notes through the week where you can delve into this a little more. So there is no reason for you to miss out, no reason for you to leave this space or turn off your computer at the end of this and not have received something. You ready to receive something? Right? Because some days it's just anything. Anything would be great. You may not walk out of here on cloud nine, but at least decide now that you're going to get something, some inspiration from the Holy Spirit. So here's your word. You ready? Go. Go. Reluctantly crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping. No, stop it. He's going the distance. Anyway. Music just does that, doesn't it? Go. Go is a wonderful word. We love go. We love green lights. We love the starter's pistol, don't we? We love the starter's pistol. But how many people know that the starter's pistol is okay if there are lines marked out in front of you? If there are lines. Everybody's been to a primary school sports day. And everybody's gone, that's in the line. Stay in the lines. My children, my under 10, we play under 10s basketball. The amount of times the only coaching you need to give is, we're going that way. As the little child gets excited, sees an open hoop and runs towards it, they're like, no, other way. Go is great. Go is one of those starting places. It feels positive. It feels energetic. And every one of us are looking for those moments of launch, those moments where you know exactly what today is about. And you think, go, I'm just going to go. It's going to be great. We're going to be amazing. And then you go, but where are the lines? And as you get a little older, it's funny how the world just opens up and the gray kind of comes in. And you start to realize that it just, you know, it's not as simple as yes or no. It's yes, no, and maybe. And maybe I understand what's going on today, and maybe I don't. And I'm pretty sure I have a degree in that thing, but I still don't understand that thing. Yeah? How many people, when you're in primary school, they're like, you're going to go to high school, and then maybe you'll do some tertiary, or you do a trade or something like that, and then you'll know what it is to do that work. And then anyone that's been in their career for a while is going, I know more than most people about that thing. They just don't know what I don't know. And as long as that's still the case, my English teacher used to say, you only have to stay one chapter ahead of the students. And that's professional life. To all the young people in here, every adult's faking it. Don't worry about it. We're all just trying our best. We got a starting pistol at some time, but we're always looking for the lines. We're always looking for the road marked out ahead of us. This is what Hebrews 12 says. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the road, what? Marked out. It's actually marked out. So here's the kicker. If you're feeling a bit lost, where do you find the markings? Because a lot of us are going, I might just Google that. And that's okay for a few things, but eventually you'll realize that even the information you're receiving is just information. And if you don't understand it, information is just knowledge. And knowledge doesn't turn into wisdom unless you put it into practice. So you actually have to engage with the Word to see that these lines are marked out for us. How do we do that? Well, that's really straightforward. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. right? You're like, Pastor Justin, this is basic. This is basic church. I know. But the basics is where the good stuff starts. The pioneer and perfecter of our faith. In other words, he started our journey, he'll continue our journey, and he'll perfect our journey. And we don't ever have to be perfect ourselves because he's perfect. He did it all for us. We just chase after him. That's the road marked out for us. We follow him each and every day in our lives, and we start the day by saying, Jesus, just take the wheel, you know? Yes, now you got another song in your head. But here's the kicker. When it starts with therefore, you have to ask, what's it there for? My English teacher taught me that too. Hebrews 11 is the chapter before Hebrews 12. And it says, now faith is the confidence in what we hope for. We talk about multiplying hope all the time here. And we talk about going all the time here. But it's all founded on faith. On faith that God did do what he said he was going to do, that Jesus did live the way he lived, that he did make the ultimate sacrifice for us, and that we have faith to believe that he has a road marked out for us. Faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance. Isn't assurance a great word? Blessed assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. They were actually commended for this. And Hebrews 11, of course, is that very famous chapter called the faith chapter. It goes through all the people of great faith. And we are inspired by it, but we recognize that there was sacrifice in it. By faith, Abraham actually went. He actually went to a land that God would show him. Go to that next slide there, Hebrews 11, 8. It says, by faith, Abraham, and that's Genesis 12, if you want to find where that is recorded, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Can I just point out here, he would later understand as his inheritance. Later. All he was told was go. Get up, get your stuff, get your family, let's go. Let's go on a journey together. But keep your eyes fixed because that's where the markers are found. Keep your eyes fixed there. He obeyed and went. What's faith? Faith is obedience, trust, all of those things. Even though he did not know where he was going, how many of us can relate to that? By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. Even if you are literally someone who was born internationally and live here now, can I just point out to you that every person feels like a stranger in a foreign country at times. I went to 8 different primary schools. My parents were in the education department, and in those days, as your skill grew, you got posted to new schools. At times, they stopped and went, let's go and build a school. They literally started a school called Cairo Christian School, which is kind of a big deal these days. But we built the first building, put the first portable up. They were really into education. And so we moved, and therefore, I moved schools. And everywhere I went, I had to reintroduce myself and sometimes try and reinvent myself. And we've all done that. But you walk in as a stranger and you don't know the rules in the social space. You don't know the games they play. You don't know, you know, the social hierarchy. You don't know the behaviors. And so many of us trip ourselves up because we're hoping to figure it out. But if I could encourage you that everybody feels like a stranger every now and again, then maybe you'll look at your neighbor a slightly different way and go, if they feel like a stranger and I feel like a stranger, maybe we could be friends. We could be strangers together. Right? I remember university, first year university, walked in and these two dudes, it was a two-story building, and these two dudes walked down the stairs together. What's my assumption? They know each other. They're friends from way back. They know what's going on. It's orientation day. I have no idea where anything is. And so those are the guys. My brain just made this narrative up because I saw them walking in the same direction, two people together. Turns out they'd never met each other before. They were there on orientation as well and happened to have got lost upstairs. The story is always a little more complex. So I want to encourage you that you don't have to come up with a narrative of the other people know what's going on. As we talk about mission and we point out people who are literally on mission, they have gone on mission. You should never look at those people and go, wow, they must just be smarter than me. They must just have, I mean, they might have more faith than me, but they're ordinary people. When Jesus said, come follow me, he asked ordinary people. And that's still the ask today. Come follow me. Set your eyes on me. Run the race that is marked out before you by keeping your eyes on me. Just come. Just come. But for you to come, you have to go. So how do you go? Here's the question mark. This is go as an exclamation mark, moves to go as a question mark. Go as a question mark. This is a tough one because it all sounds fantastic until you actually have to take a step of obedience and actually go. We have pastors here who have a different accent to Australians. We have tried to re-educate them. It ain't gonna work. That's all I'm saying. It ain't gonna work. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. In fact, I'm cashing it. Annoying. I have a Texan friend that I literally cannot understand. I just think it sounds like a chant. Hello to Texas if you're watching. How do you go? This is deep. This is deep, people. Simple steps of obedience. Because simple steps of obedience lead to giant leaps of faith. Everyone looks at the giant leap of faith and go, I just want to do that. No, you don't. No, you don't. You like and you want to cheer people on who are doing that, but you need to read the backstory. You need to read that they had been prepared for this in some way, shape, or form. They are never ready. They're never completely ready. None of us have every tool in our belt that we need before we say, yes, God. But there are simple steps of obedience. I like there's a thing that musicians and artists and people get asked all the time, like, you know, is it innate? Can you just, you know, and, you know, we jump up and we sing and we play and we do that. And I've had it all my life. Oh, you just, it's just a gift. It's just a natural gift from heaven. It's fallen out of the sky and you got it. And there is truth that we have wiring and we have, you know, family history and ex, you know, I was exposed to musical instruments as a young child and all of that sort of stuff. But to get good at any of this stuff, you have to do a thing called practice. And I don't know if you've seen this little cartoon that goes around, but I love it. I love it. It just says this. It says, how do you draw so well? And the person says, practice. Oh, it must be an innate gift, a gift from God. No, it's practice. Oh, I'll never understand how some people are so talented. It's a mystery. It's not a mystery. It's practice. Here's another way of saying it. Slow discipleship will lead to sudden deployment. You know, it always looks like we see the story at the point that we interact with the person. And we just assume that they're very, very good at what they do. I don't know how you got where you are today. I look at like people like civil engineers. I was talking to a friend who builds car parks. Most boring structure on the planet. It's a car park. What do you do with it? You put your car on it. That's it. It's the whole function of it. But a civil engineer looks at that and goes, oh. You should see how deep we had to dig. You should see the curb and channel. You should see the water flow. Oh, my goodness. Do you know how much water builds up from here to there? Where are the civil engineers in the room? Yeah, I love you guys. Someone just squealed with glee. Civil engineers, just a round of applause for the engineers. There we go. And just while we're at it, as a point of encouragement, let's just say a prayer for the builders that have to work with them. Or the engineers that have to work with the builders. I'm never quite sure. Slow discipleship. Do you know what that means? Daily disciplines. Discipleship discipline, right? Read the word. We have a daily devotion on our website. It's curated. It's a small amount of scripture. You can reflect on it every single day, and you can know that other people in your tribe are reflecting on the same thing, and you can share with one another. We have life groups. You can obviously go online and watch all these things again, but you actually need to open the book, look in it, and see what it speaks to you. If you love singing worship, then add it to your playlist. Make sure it's part of what you do. When you're in the car by yourself or whatever it happens to be, if you're a good prayer, and I always feel like I'm not a good prayer, I can't sit on my knees for an hour and a half and just, that's not me. I'm so sorry I failed you as a pastor. But I speak to God all the time. But if you're that kind of person that can do a routine and you get up in the morning and you go through a daily prayer, Catechism. My wife's at her school. The staff are going through the catechism, the new catechism, just asking the questions and learning the answers. Sometimes learning by rote is okay as long as you add spirit and life to it. Learning by rote is okay. But slow discipleship, I kid you not, will lead to sudden deployment. It's happened so many times in my life, I can't tell you. And anybody else that's serving God in these capacities, you'll hear these stories. Suddenly I realized I was doing this now. Really. There was a moment where I realized enough people were calling me pastor that I probably was one. Right? How does it start? How does it start? How do you start? Going is the question mark. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's not just knowledge. It's not just information. It's when it turns into something that actually takes root in your heart and grows something special. It's the beginning of a thing called wisdom. And wisdom is not, wisdom is not something that boasts. Wisdom is something that people come to. That's what happens. You realize you are skilled at what you do, and people come to you and ask you questions about what you do. Civil engineers, I do not know how to build a car park. I just know how to use a car park, but I'm glad you know how to build a car park. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst. You need an appetite for this stuff. You need an appetite for slow discipleship, because you might be looking for the highlight reel, the sudden deployment, but you need an appetite for this. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for what is right. If you start there, you will be filled. There's a promise attached to the hunger. There's a promise attached to the hunger. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, not for me, not for my bank account, not for my fame, but for His glory. Blessed are those that hunger for His glory, for they will be filled. I was reading Psalm 34 this week, and it's one of those psalms that, I'll give you the context. 1 Samuel 21 is the time that David was writing this psalm. And this is what's happening for David. King David, most famous king Israel has ever had. He was anointed in a paddock one day by a prophet who poured oil over his head and said, "You'll be king." And of course, straight away he was king. No, he went back to the field and he started looking after the sheep, because that was his job. That was what his father had asked him to do. And we know the story, we know the narrative, that through that history he was called out to take food to his brothers on the front line of a war, and he took it to them and they thought he was showing off. He said, "I'm just here to obey what I've been asked to do." And of course he's asked, eventually he builds up the courage to say, "I'll fight the giant for you." And that's where David's fame begins. But of course what happens over time is Saul the king starts to get jealous of David. So David becomes a stranger in his own land. And there's a point where he's trying to get away, and he goes into the temple and his men are hungry, and there's this amazing story where they feed him the bread, the holy bread that's there, which was breaking the law anyway. So it's a wild story in the first place. But people start chanting, "Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands." In other words, David's fame was so great that people recognized him and started singing about him, at which point he realized his life was in danger, because now the people he was trying to hide from in plain sight now knew he was who he was. And so David, in his wisdom, starts to act like a nut job. 1 Samuel 21, it's all there. He starts to drool down his beard and babble like a crazy person and bang his head against the wall. I am not making this up. This is in your Bible. You should read it. It's amazing. Basically, he escapes by pretending he's not who they know he is. And he lives to fight another day. It's a phenomenal story. But here's the beauty. David doesn't come out of that and write a psalm that goes, "God, what on earth was that about?" He comes out and he writes a psalm that starts this way. It starts this way: "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together." His response to pressure was to praise. That was his response. His response to pressure was to praise God. Tell me that's not slow discipleship. Tell me that's not training that's happened over a long period of time. That when he was under pressure, he reached down to the guts of who he was, and what came out was praise. That my soul knows very well. He'd been in the paddock, looking after the sheep, writing his psalms on his lyre or whatever he had. Beatbox, probably. And he learnt what it was to align his life, to fix his eyes, to fix his heart. He'd been given the starter's gun a few times. But in this position, he had been given the starter's gun to become the king, and he had not yet become the king. In fact, he'd become a captive. But here's a few things that you can take today out of Psalm 34 that I want you to take with you. So Psalm 34 talks about what it means to seek. It says, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. What's holding you back from faith? Fear. What's the opposite of faith? Fear. He delivers you from all your fears. That's what it means to seek. When you are under pressure, does praise come out? Do you seek him? What does it mean to taste? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. David went to his God. That's where he took his refuge. Dutch Ann was sharing with the youth on Friday night. By the way, this is an amazing psalm. The beauty of scripture, it's incredible. It's an acrostic. Every Hebrew letter of the alphabet starts every sentence. And I might do that on the podcast, Simon, with Dutch Ann later in the week, because he can speak Hebrew because he's a smarty pants. But it's amazing, and he was talking about one of the traditions amongst these people was to put honey on the physical book and then taste the book so that they could teach children that there was sweetness in the word. I was like, that's wild. I would have got in so much trouble for doing that. Culture matters. What does it mean to taste? What does it mean to fear the Lord? Remember the beginning? When it's go, what's happening at the beginning, fear of the Lord. Proverbs said is the beginning of wisdom. Come, my children. And it says children on purpose because children come with a different posture. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So here's what I'm here to tell you this morning. Get into the word, understand the word, and then keep going. Keep going. Because there's a go for all of you. There is a talent that you carry. There is a gift that you have. And maybe you haven't quite understood how it's supposed to be deployed, but keep that slow discipleship going because sudden deployment is coming. That's what happens. That's what my God does. I remember as a kid in high school, it wasn't cool to be a Christian. It probably still isn't. But my dad was a preacher in a small town, so they knew I was a preacher's kid. There was only 3,500 people in my town. And my dad decided that he would come to my school and start a Students for Christ group because I wasn't embarrassed enough. And so he did that. And it turns out I do love my dad. Hi, Donnie. Love you. But here's the kicker. I got involved, obviously. I was like the planter, the church planter at my high school. We got a discipleship group going. It was amazing. I knew I was in but not of. I knew I was kind of the weird one, the one that stood out, but it didn't matter because people were attracted to the passion that we had. And they came and asked their questions. When I went to university, you know, it was one of those things of every now and again I would say, I need to go to a prayer time. I can't come to this class that, you know, has just been placed on the lunchtime at Wednesday because that's when we do our prayer time together as students. And my lecturers loved that I had that kind of discipline, I guess. They didn't mind at all. It was by that stage, it wasn't a hard thing to say. I was like, I need to pray. I need to be with the people of God. It was only half an hour or whatever it was. But from that point, that actual group, from that group of students in first year uni, I found mentors for my life that are still in my life today. I found friends who are musical that we started to tour around Australia and New Zealand with and play music with. I found friends that have helped me in every skill set that I have and found a wife. Keep going. Slow discipleship, sudden deployment. Father God, I thank you for who you are and I thank you for what it is that you have done in our lives over long, long seasons. Lord, I pray for those especially who are just starting their journey. I pray that you would grant them faith and favor. I pray that you would build their trust as you teach us, Lord God. And I pray that that slow discipleship would be something that we enjoy, something that we just love, that we taste and see that you are good. Lord, I thank you for Pastor Stan and Deanna. I thank you for their faithfulness in their obedience to the call here. And that's a repeated thing that they've done many, many times through their journey. I thank you for their continued obedience and the entire team. I thank you for every soul in the house and online that is part of WBC.
Lord, I thank you that our only task was just to go into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples, baptizing people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I pray that that would stay central in our heart, and I pray that you would give us the confidence and the assurance in our faith that we hope for. So, Lord, I commit all of these journeys, every journey represented, every person that's hearing this conversation and this message today, every one of us is on a journey with you. And I pray that it would be full of obedience and full of opportunity, and that you would keep perfecting our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.